SecDef Cohen was referring to the geophysical warfare aspects of what I call the New Manhattan Project, the use of these powerful electromagnetic waves, when they start using those and bouncing them off the ionosphere and using them in combination with machines all over the country and all over the world, they can produce any type of extreme weather. Earthquakes are a snap, but the ionosphere itself is a plasma. And when you start messing with that, you're dealing with levels of power that man had never seen before. And
with the COVID-19 virus crisis and the number of casualties with the flu, if you have not been looking at C60 as a means to significantly improve your immunities by now, you should be. Here's why. First, a strong and healthy immune system is your body's first defense, and for those with a strong immune system, your body will adequately fight viruses without medical intervention. Second, C60 is safe as long as you are taking high quality C60 with no added fillers or solvents. Third, C60 is the best means of removing free radicals from your body that exists. It's at least 200 times better at this function than vitamin C and any other antioxidant. Fourth, as Dr. Chu Li stated on a previous show, COVID-19 creates massive amounts of free radicals, which is causing organ failure for those with weaker immune systems. So now it becomes clear you need the best free radical fighter that exists, and that is C60 with black seed oil and curcumin. Why black seed oil and curcumin? Because these two ingredients are the absolute best at supporting C60 to fight viruses and to improve your immune system. Go to sarahwestall.com/shop and learn more about why this formula is so powerful for building your immunities. And it's now available in gel capsules and by diffuser for more serious needs. Be sure to read the research and, of course, use the current coupons to save money when you buy. Patrons also receive a 10% discount. You can find that code at patreon.com/sarahwestall. Remember, keeping you and your family safe is the most important thing you can do.
So they made a fortune off that, probably. I mean, that's what your research shows.
Yeah, they'd like to downplay how much money they made off the weather derivatives market. But the evidence does show that by the time Enron went out of business, they were at least turning a profit, at least. You know, if they were engaged in some type of financial fraud and making an absolute killing there, you know they're going to underreport it. I mean, we're talking about a company that shredded tons of documents while everybody was saying, you know, hey, what's going on here? There's problems with the accounting here. And, you know, there were lots of criminal convictions that came out of Enron. And
well, let's talk about the other motives that they have. A lot of this technology is based on Tesla, which is not surprising. I mean, he understood plasma energy. He understood the electric universe. And that's what we're talking about here. But there's some other things that is pretty interesting, like the light from the gods is what you call it, but it's called the death ray. Have they mastered the death ray from your research? And first of all, tell us what it is and have they mastered it?
Yeah, the death ray is really, it's just about producing a very powerful beam of electromagnetic energy that a military could use to destroy an enemy. And, you know, there's apparently a multitude of ways that this type of beam energy can be produced. I go over the ways in the book. It can be produced from ground-based antennas that just bounce signals off of the ionosphere. It can be produced in combination with satellites. It can possibly be produced by tapping into the ionosphere as well. And it's written about quite a bit in the literature. I produced quite a few examples of our Air Force and other organizations writing about this type of technology. Apparently Tesla came up with some of the original ideas on how you generate such a thing. And my science advisor assures me that it is a real technology and can be used.
Yeah, when I did my research on it, I did a little mini documentary on weapons, you know, the EMF weapons. And I definitely, there's lasers that they're using. I just don't know if it's coming from the ionosphere, the signals going, or if it's, because we have plasma energy and a zero point, we can tap into it all around us. So if they have their act together, they don't necessarily have to go to the ionosphere to really get it. But I suppose it's more concentrated up there. So it's really interesting to see where that they're pulling that energy from. Let's talk about other sprays and Morgellons.
Other sprays and Morgellons. Well, you really put me through my paces here. Let me see.
I went through your whole book.
Well, I appreciate it.
I did my homework. It's actually very extensive, and I could read it 5 times to really learn something.
Thank you. Thank you. Yes, there is a section here in the other agenda.
Well, we can even, you know, the Morgellons, we can, it's about, because I did a show on with another, you know, in the past with Alana. She's just amazing. Have you talked to her? She talks about the ionized sky and so forth. But anyways, she's amazing. But they, it's a whole illness and a disease. And I found that very interesting that they've kind of classified it as this disease that's actually affecting people and causing fatigue and things. But they've actually got on camera these little Morgellons. And I want to know if you have, you know, getting another researcher, if they also found these little robotic-like things that come into your skin.
Yes, this is a developing area of study. Alana is coming out with a book later this year that should provide more information in this whole area. She has been working with Clifford Carnicom at the Carnicom Institute. Carnicom has been at the forefront of this type of research. And my findings in this area as of right now are highly inconclusive. I did find, though, this one doctor named Dr. Ginger Savely, who has been instrumental in the legitimization of Morgellons as a disease. And she has gotten quite a few journal articles published on this and has caused institutions such as the Mayo Clinic to recognize the disease. And although the Centers for Disease Control has not officially recognized it yet, they categorize it as an unexplained dermopathy. But
so something's there, but they're not going to let that be Magellan's.
Well, we'll see what happens. You know, these things evolve over time. Mm-hmm. But Dr. Ginger Savely has found that Morgellons is actually something that goes back quite a ways. She's talking about her patients, and she's seen, I believe, hundreds of patients with this disease, where there's, you know, stuff coming out of their fibers are coming out of their skin, and their skin is just disappearing and turning black and stuff, and really horrible things are happening to people who have this Morgellons. But she writes about Morgellons going back to, I believe, the 50s. Yeah, since 1954, she's had patients coming to her saying that they've had symptoms since 1954. And that does not rule out chemtrails, though, because there has been testing of spraying things from aircraft for this whole area of spraying things from aircraft really blew up after World War II. And specifically down there in Texas, in the Southwest, it looks to me that a lot of the development of spraying from aircraft has been developed, and apparently a lot of these Morgellon sufferers are in the Southwest as well. So they may have been exposed to things that were being sprayed from planes back in the 50s. So it does, just because that she has patients that say they've shown symptoms since 1954, that doesn't rule out chemtrails as the cause of this. And she even addresses the chemtrail connection in her book, and she doesn't think there's any connection there. She discounts it. She doesn't rule it out entirely, but she says it's more of a matter of compromised immune systems. the chemtrails.
Well, the problem is, the problem is doctors have to be very careful what they publish to be able to people to take them seriously. So the fact that she even brought it up but didn't rule it out means that she's at least giving, she might actually believe it, but no, she can't totally support it. I mean, who knows? Yeah. I would say.
Well, you know, she gave us her best shot on it. And as far as other sprays are concerned, yeah, they've been spraying us with the kitchen sink. I mean, I believe I have a, you want me to go through the whole list?
Yeah, your book really goes through it. It's really incredible what they're spraying. But you also talk about depopulation, which I think is something that's on a lot of people's minds right now, because Bill Gates has notoriously been involved in a depopulation agenda. He's actually funded organizations that want to limit population. He's given billions or millions of dollars to organizations like this. And he has been caught doing vaccines in Africa that inject people with infertility vaccines. And we're worried right now because you have the situation where hydroxychloroquine, which can really help with COVID-19, is being blocked and sabotaged and everything. So it's like they want to kill people. While at the same time, it's a very, very safe drug. It's as safe or safer than Tylenol in the list of drugs. It's crazy when you look at the background. They even give it to pregnant women, for crying out loud. I mean, they've given millions of doses, one of the safest drugs on the market, and they claim it's causing heart conditions. But the cardiologists, even the cardiologists association, said, we gave you the proper protocol. We never have heart problems. And if you use our protocol, you won't either. And the FDA just now, they reversed it and said that they concluded that they don't think it's wise to take it for COVID. And Lancet published a study that they found was fixed on this thing. And so now they're putting out this vaccine that they're rushing to market that's in July. They're going to have Moderna is going to have 30,000 people do the phase three of the stupid vaccine that they're going to put out. They've never had a successful vaccine in over three decades trying to find one for a cold or for a coronavirus, which is what that is. And now they think magically they're going to have one by rushing it through. And that's way riskier than hydroxychloroquine. And just take vitamin D3. They're finding that really helps too. And they could really reduce. And then the actual death rate is way lower than what the flu is. But they're trying to pump it up, scare people away from what works. And now they want to do this vaccine. So people are really thinking this is a depopulation agenda, because they notoriously have been documenting that they want to do this. And Bill Gates is behind a lot of this, and he has been really behind it. So when I see depopulation, people are really interested and scared, frankly, about what their agendas are with depopulation. And we know that these chemtrails are being pumped everywhere. How can they use this for depopulation?
Yes. Probably the best way to wipe out a population short of thermonuclear war is spraying highly toxic substances from aircraft. And so we have the psychopath Bill Gates, who nobody should be listening to. I mean, he's not an expert in any of these things, but he is invested in the tests and the vaccines. So, you know, it doesn't make any sense for us to be listening to what this guy is talking about at all. He's completely conflicted. I don't know why he's still walking the face of the earth. But we have him as a geoengineering advocate. He's been funding geoengineering research, and he's a depopulation advocate. And then, so he's one of the most prominent proponents of what we call SRM geoengineering, spraying stuff from planes. And just happens to be a depopulation advocate as well. And then we have the other most prominent geoengineering advocate, a guy by the name of John P. Holdren. Maybe you've heard of him, the former science czar of the Obama administration. And he is also a depopulation advocate. So we have the two most prominent advocates for geoengineering who also happen to be depopulation advocates. You know, I don't think it's a coincidence. And we also, I mean, you know, there's been all kinds of other elitists coming forward with this depopulation agenda. I have quotes from Prince Philip, Ted Turner, that's a famous one. I have one from Sir David Attenborough. He's a sir, so I mean, you better listen. Prince William. And they're all just basically saying there's too many humans and we got to get rid of them. But this idea that there's too many people is easily discounted. There's something called the demographic transition model. Have you heard of this?
No, I'd like to tell us about it.
The demographic transition model shows us, it's very well substantiated, that what actually happens is the Earth's population is not going to go up and 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 continue going up if nothing stops it. What happens is, as societies become industrialized and more sophisticated and better run and more efficient, population actually reaches a plateau and then begins to decline because people start having fewer kids. And you know, the lives of the children are worth more, so they don't have to have as many.
So I have heard about it. I just didn't know it was called that. And that's what's going on in this country significantly. We actually are like you said, we're going down. Japan is notorious for that, because what they did is and I've talked about this in my show before, they only showed people on television. This is a propaganda campaign, but it was actually worked. They only show, I mean, it was actually a good cause, I think, for them, because they're on this island and they weren't forcing any of this. All they did is, in their media, they only showed families with two kids. That's it. They never showed large families. They never talked about large families. They always talked about keeping your family small, but they didn't make any laws about it. Next thing you know, they all had two or less. I mean, in general, they had their depopulation decreased quite a bit. And I absolutely right. You're absolutely right on that. That's what
this happens. Is a natural progression. It doesn't need to be mandated by government. And you know what should happen is that the population of the most industrialized and the most technologically advanced countries, yes, our population does start declining, but our quality of life should continue to rise. And as that is occurring, then people from the second and third world who have had lower qualities of life should be brought in appropriately. They should be brought in appropriately. You know, instead we have this situation, just throw the borders wide open and just have them all flood in, and oh, there's all these refugees and, you know, they got to take over your society. That's not how it's supposed to be done. This can be done in a controlled fashion and done well.
Well, and sociologists know this. They know that you have to manage. It's very well, because if you don't bring in you have to bring in a certain percentage. If you bring in a larger percentage than what the local society or community can handle, it destabilizes the community. So you want to create stabilization. You don't want to destabilize the country or the state or the community, the cities. So you make sure that the percentage of new immigrants coming in are low enough so it doesn't destabilize. And because if it destabilizes, then it's bad. It's a lose-lose in all directions. Whereas if you keep it stable, then it's a win-win-win in all directions. And so the fact that they've blown way past that and they can't even see, they can't think anymore, tells me there's other agenda. It's on purpose to destabilize, because it's very well known what communities can handle and what they can't handle. And sociologists know this. So you're absolutely right. You also have a huge section in your book about powers behind the movement. And I think that is one of your, I mean, people like intrigue. And I think because people are trying to figure out who the heck is doing this stuff. We want to know who is so careless with our lives and who wants to kill us. You know, who the heck is behind all this stuff? And there's some quotes that we've heard all these quotes, but there's a few quotes I want to say. One is from Theodore Roosevelt, where he said, "Behind the visible government, there is an invisible government upon the throne that owes the people no loyalty and recognizes no responsibility." And there's another one from a prime minister back in 1884. So this has been going on for a while. An English prime minister that said, "The world is governed by very different personages from what is imagined by those who are not behind the scenes. These people are very different, but that brings together the fact that we're realizing that these guys are Satanists. I mean, they worship, they're very different than us. They worship Lucifer for real, and they do human sacrifice. They get off on misery of others, which is just crazy. I mean, that's their religion. There's a power from that. And I don't understand it at all because I don't, but the documentation and the information that I have found has been so thoroughly done that this is really going on. The human trafficking, the blackmail is used to control people. That's why there's another quote, you know, from Woodrow Wilson, that President Woodrow Wilson, that people really have heard a lot, where it says some of the biggest men in the United States in the field of commerce and manufacturing are afraid of something. They know that there is a power somewhere, so organized, so subtle, so watchful, so interlocked, so pervasive that they had better not speak above their breath when they speak in condemnation of it. Now, that could very well just be the whole blackmail control of all these wealthy, powerful people. But I had Mike Harris on and asked him directly, what the heck is going on? And he says he hasn't quite figured out, but he said there's a hidden hand. Some people think it's an alien thing. Some people think it's just the very, very wealthy who have control of technology, who use blackmail. We know that's been very established to control people, so they're afraid of this blackmail thing. What have you found through this research as far as who's really behind it? Because I know you named a bunch of organizations, starting with the Round Table, which a lot of people haven't heard about. Can you talk about the Round Table?
Yes, I'm so thankful for the work of Paul Williams and his book, Killing the Planet. He has done tremendous research on figuring out exactly who this cabal is that has been behind the curtain and lurking in the shadows, manipulating humanity throughout the decades, throughout the centuries, throughout the millennia. And but the most recent incarnation of this group that has, you know, a direct hand upon the levers of power is in the Western world, at least, is this Round Table group. And Williams traces the history of it back to Cecil Rhodes, along with his buddy Nathaniel Rothschild. And we know that Cecil Rhodes made his fortune exploiting the natural resources of Africa and acquired a tremendous fortune. And upon his death, in his will, he wrote about how he wanted Nathaniel Rothschild to move forward with this group called the Society of the Elect. And Rhodes eventually died. And Rothschild went forward with this Society of the Elect. And, you know, it was, of course, him and his buddies, all his elitist friends. And this Society of the Elect turned into this Roundtable group. And by their own admission, their whole purpose was to bring about what they called a new world order. And it was all about technologies and keeping a dominance over all of us. I mean, you know, the dominance of the elite over society is an ancient thing, but they formed this group in particular called the Round Table. And you can actually find out quite a bit about it. And I've found quite a few interesting leads I'm going to follow up on. This Round Table group is still around today, and they've been putting out like newsletters and stuff. And these have apparently been archived at the local book depository that I go to over in Richmond here. It's probably closed right now because, you know, you can't find out about the New World Order now. That's disallowed. But yeah, I'm going to go there as soon as I can and go through all these documents. And I bet you I find some weather modification stuff.
Who was part of the Round Table?
I can probably get you some names here. They actively recruited people, specifically younger people from the elite, to help them out. There were some other people who were more senior members of the group. I have some names here: Lord Brett, Lord Roseberry, Lord Balfour, and then They went on, this group went on to cultivate this group that they called the Kindergarteners. There was a guy leading the group by the name of Alfred Milner. And he recruited his group called the Milner's Kindergarteners. And I'll read from the book here. They were dispatched to, Milner then recruited a group of young men from aristocratic families, mostly Oxford graduates, popularly known as Milner's Kindergarten, to firstly serve as his administrators, governors, and bureaucrats in the South African government. So yeah, Milner was a leader down there in South Africa. After some months, Milner's kindergartners were dispatched to the United States, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, and British colonies around the world. These kindergartners became the next generation of Round Table members. As supervisors of the Round Table movement, Milner and Nathan Rothschild went on to establish branches of the Round Table in Australia, New Zealand, and Canada. So you can see the tentacles of this group reaching all around the world. And they went on to spawn all kinds of other organizations that are still in power today. They spawned these pilgrim societies, which I believe are still in operation today. And lots of famous people, specifically people with connections to the New Manhattan Project, have been members of this pilgrim societies. Off the top of my head, George Bush Sr. was a member of the Pilgrim Society, and I believe his son, Bush Jr., was also a member of these pilgrim societies. Also, another offshoot of the Round Table and these pilgrim societies was the whole Rhodes Scholarships thing. Apparently that's a direct descendant of the Rhodes Scholarship Organization is a direct descendant of this Round Table group. And also you can trace the lineage of the Council on Foreign Relations to this Round Table group. And my research indicates that the Council on Foreign Relations has been absolutely central to this whole thing. They have written extensively about SRM geoengineering, about spraying us with chemtrails. I list, I think it's like 15 instances of them themselves publishing articles advocating or sort of, you know, dancing around the issue of spraying chemtrails, or their members writing about it. They have people who are members of the Council on Foreign Relations who are geoengineers themselves. And they, in some cases, they get quite explicit about how they're saying, we need to do this like now. Other times they're kind of dancing around the issue a little bit, but either way you cut it, any way you slice it, you can say that they are advocating for it. Just the fact that they're bringing it up and introducing it as a possibility, that's advocation. And then the CFR is, of course, they're still around today, very powerful. We had the head of the CIA, Brennan, in 2016, come out at the headquarters of the CFR at Pratt House in Manhattan and advocate for SRM geoengineering. He wanted to change the term of it. He started calling it stratospheric aerosol injection. You know, like this was the big rollout of the new stratospheric aerosol injection term. He calls it SAI, you know, like, oh, I've been enlightened. It's called SAI now. So he was going to tell us all.
It's just crazy. Well, your book has just a killing amount of the powers behind this and the quotes and the people involved. It is absolutely amazing. And after you've read that, you looked at the motives and things, but is it just money? I mean, when you look at the fact that it's so unhealthy for them as well it is for us, why would they do this? Have you wrestled with it more than power and control and money? It's one thing, but if you're destroying your own planet, that's why people think it's terraforming, because they just don't understand why the people would destroy themselves in the process. Mm-hmm. Have you wrestled with that idea?
Well, you know, as far as their motives are concerned, they're more concerned about total control, total domination. That's their thing. Money is a nice byproduct. product of that. Money allows them to continue to exert that control, but they know that the real power is in power itself. The real power is in keeping humanity running around on a treadmill and you know, being able to just put your foot down on their neck whenever you want. That's the real power. And the real domination type of power that the New Manhattan Project affords is mostly, you can break it down to the fact that they spray this stuff out of the planes, okay? We're talking about very small particles, nanoparticles. This stuff gets into everything. They're getting into everything. You see where I'm going? It permeates absolutely everything in our environment, in our bodies, in animals, in plants, in the water, in the sky. They're getting their stuff into everything. And when their particles, their stuff has permeated everything, then they hit it with the electromagnetic energy and manipulate it. See how that affords a measure of control and power over everything?
Yeah, it's pretty scary that they can electrify us. So now we're connected to the grid and they can put any frequencies they want through anything. And frequencies control everything. And that's what I've been saying. I've had Sherry Edwards on my show, and frequency is everything. So it could all come down to frequency, and they just want to, because they can control everything with that. It's really scary. Well, where can they get a copy of your book and learn more about you? Because this is the most thorough book. I mean, it's just so great.
Oh, well, thank you so much, Sarah. I really appreciate your kind words. And, you know, I thank you again for letting me come on your show, and hope to do so again sometime in the future. But yes, I've put a lot of work into this, and I do believe that the reader will be quite satisfied with the book, even if they've bought the first book and read it and hopefully enjoyed it. The second book is really a fully formed work, and if you read it, it's pretty easy to understand. I make it as clear as possible. I speak in plain language. It's not scientific. My science is my weak hand. I'm better at explaining things, especially in writing. And I'm confident that people will enjoy reading the book and feel as though that the information in the book has provided them with a very thorough understanding of what's going on here. And this is a huge story. I mean, this is a 600-page book, but that was the least amount of pages that I could tell the whole story in. This is an epic saga. And I really boil a lot of things down. I just try to keep it very common sense and very visceral and keep people turning pages. But if you want to get the book, it's available on Amazon.com exclusively. And so that would be great if people could go there and buy the book, because I intend for the next edition of this work, I intend it to be a chronological narrative. But that would require a whole lot more research and getting into more details of the specific players and all this stuff. I think it can be done. It will probably require some freedom of information requests and hopefully declassified information and things like that. But I do believe that it can be done. But for now, that this work, the second edition, is meant to stand the test of time. But if there's going to be a third edition, I need people to buy the book. This is how I've set it all up. This is the whole mechanism. This is the business plan. This is the funding mechanism so that this work can continue to come out. So I would like very much if you could buy the book, ebook, or paperback, or if you don't feel like you can do that right now, then I'd really appreciate it if people would join my email list at my website, peterakirby.com.
Well, thank you so much. It's a passion, I can tell, of yours, just by how much work you put into it. Very thorough. And I appreciate everything you've done for humanity by putting this forward and for people to get their arms around such a huge issue. Can you stick around for my patrons?
Sure.